The first reading today, St. Paul reminds us, and a very important reminder, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness in the high places. We are fighting a spiritual battle. Now, while St. Paul points out that, yes, it's against principalities and powers, but also, he said, against the world rulers of this darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. In other words, the devil is going to employ human beings to be able to do his work. Has to be. Just as God employs human beings to do his work, so too does Satan. And so we can look at some of these unfortunate souls and we can think that that's who our real enemy is. But it's not. Our real enemy is Satan. And the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual one, and yes, some of it is fought on the natural level. But we have to recognize it's first and foremost spiritual. And that's why St. Paul then tells us that we have to put on the armor of God. And this again is what's so important. He's not talking about putting on natural armor. When he lays all these things out, he talks about the various things that a Roman soldier, for instance, would have put on, the helmet and the breastplate and all the different things. But you notice he's not talking about military things. He's using military terms to tell us to put on things that are spiritual. So he talks about the truth and justice and readiness of the gospel of peace and faith. All of these things that we have to have if we're going to be able to fight this battle. Because if we have those things ultimately in our hearts, then we are protected. It's not about being protected physically so much as it is spiritually. But even on the physical level, we have to be able to recognize how all of this operates. That the weapons that we have been given and the protection that we have been given is infinitely more powerful than anything on the human level. And we can look at it and say, yeah, but look, they have tanks and planes and bombs and whatever else. Yeah, they do. And they have night vision things and they have heat-seeking things and whatever else. Which means on the natural level, there is no escape. But we're not fighting on the natural level. God is bigger than all of this nonsense. The rosary, Our Lady has told us, is more powerful than atomic bombs. Now that may sound humorous to people, or that may sound unbelievable, but it is not. The weapons we have are far greater than theirs. And so if we trust God, we can be made invisible. There are plenty of stories from over the centuries where things have happened like that. There's the man who used to go into China with his car completely filled, other than where he himself was sitting in the driver's seat, floor to ceiling, front to back, filled with Bibles. And he would pull up to the checkpoint and they would look and they would say, "Nothing in here," and let him go. They didn't see the Bibles. When Cardinal Van Tuan was put into solitary confinement in North Vietnam, he had been there for, 11 years or so before they noticed that he had his pectoral cross on. And they said, "Where'd you get this?" He'd been wearing it every day for 11 years, and they never saw it. Pope John Paul, when the Nazis came in, was face down in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And they came in and they walked around and they were looking for whomever and they didn't see him lying there on his belly. They walked right over him, but they didn't see him. God is more powerful than all of their demonic elements. But we have to have ourselves properly outfitted. Not with guns and all the other things that we might think that we need, but rather with the things that St. Paul is talking about here. Again, truth, justice, the gospel of peace, faith, all these things that we need to have. And the church then gives to us the gospel reading today that reminds us of another peace, and that is forgiveness. Unforgiveness is Satan's most powerful tool. So if you're going to try to say, well, I'm going to have faith and I'm going to have the gospel of peace and I'll have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I've got all of that, but I refuse to forgive, then it's like putting on a bunch of armor that has a hole right in the middle of it and a target right over your heart that says to Satan, aim right here. Everything else is covered, but not this. That's Satan's doorway right into your heart. Now, we have perfected the ability to rationalize why we don't need to forgive. After all, look what that person did. If they did this to you, you wouldn't be able to forgive either. Whatever goofball idea that we've got in our head as to why it is okay for us not to forgive. Then you have to ask yourself, so what is it that I pray in the Our Father every day? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, Lord, please forgive me only as much as I'm willing to forgive someone else. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? He said, so will my heavenly Father do to you if you do not forgive your brothers from your hearts. Not just to say, well, yeah, okay, whatever, but I'm still going to hang on to this grudge. No, that is not what he's talking about. And this isn't the only one. Because when Jesus taught his disciples the Our Father, he said the exact same thing. There are 7 petitions in the Our Father, and only one did he take out to be able to comment on, and it was the point of forgiveness, and said exactly the same thing. Unless you forgive your brothers from the heart, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So when we look at this, and we see what our Lord is showing to us, this man who owed 10,000 talents, and we're talking millions of dollars, and someone owed him a couple of hundred. He was forgiven millions of dollars worth, but he refused to forgive a couple of hundred. Now, I know we're going to be quick to say, well, I haven't ever done anything like that. These people did something way worse to me than what I've ever done. The point is that what those people did to you, they also did to God. And therefore, whatever you have done, you not only did that to someone else, you did it to God. And when you did it to God, that means your sin has infinite consequences. Anyone who sinned against you, the sin has finite consequences. As they sinned against God, that has infinite consequences. But against you, it has finite consequences. Which means no matter how big something has been done to you, it still is small compared to what we have done to God. And if God is willing to forgive us something that has infinite consequences because it's a sin against an infinite person, then no matter what someone has done to us, it is much smaller than what God has already forgiven us. So we are not justified in refusing to forgive. Now that said, we have to make all the regular distinctions. To forgive is not to say it was okay. Will God ever say it was okay for you to sin? Oh, I know, your circumstances are different from everybody else's, so therefore it was okay for you. No, he's not going to say that. So neither is he asking you to say it was okay for somebody to violate you. He's not asking you to say that. To forgive does not mean to say it was okay. Satan's going to be right there to say, you can't, don't forgive that person, you're letting them off the hook. No. Forgive the person, you're letting yourself off the hook. The analogy I always use is, if you refuse to forgive somebody, let's say I did something to you, and you refuse to forgive, it's like putting a handcuff on my wrist and one on yours. Every place you go, you're dragging this fat priest around with you. And the devil's right there saying, no, 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 don't open that handcuff, or you're letting him off the hook. Now, if you open the handcuff, you're opening the one on your wrist, not the one on mine. You're the one who's free. I've still got the handcuff on mine. You're the one that's free. Now, people will also come up with the thing and say, well, but if I have to go to confession, you know, first. It takes one to forgive, and it takes two to reconcile. You can't reconcile with that person if they're not willing to acknowledge their fault, if they're not willing to be sorry. But you can still forgive, because it only requires one person to forgive. So we have no excuses. We have to be able to let go. Now again, we need to be clear. This doesn't mean that you can't seek justice. If someone has destroyed your property or something like that, can you take them to court? Yeah, as a matter of justice, not as a matter of vengeance. That's where the distinction again needs to be made. If it's vengeance, it's trying to get even, which means I haven't forgiven them. I want my pound of flesh. I can forgive, but I can still seek justice. But it needs to be true justice, not cloaked under justice, but really it's vengeance. So we need to be very careful about how we do these things. And don't try to justify yourself. I keep hearing over and over and over and over again, but Father, my anger is righteous. No, it is not. Maybe it was for a few seconds when whatever happened, happened. Days and weeks and months later, oh no, it's not. So don't try and use that excuse to be able to say, oh, God will understand. Oh, he understands perfectly the anger in your heart. That doesn't mean he's going to say it was okay. He understands it, and he understands why you're not forgiving, and he understands why you're being vengeful, and he understands it all perfectly, and that is going to be used against you on Judgment Day if you don't repent. So we have no excuse. But what we do need to make sure we're doing now is preparing ourselves for what's coming. It is a spiritual battle. It is a battle for souls. We're so worried about Brother Donkey and making sure that we've got enough clothes and enough food and we've got our basements filled with all. No, 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 no. God can handle all of that. Worry about your soul. That's why we need truth and justice and righteousness and all the different things that St. Paul was talking about. That's why you need to make sure that you don't have a big hole in the middle of your breastplate. We need to forgive. We need to be about charity. That's not easy. Jesus didn't ask us easy things, but neither did he do them. He went to the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He took on all of the pain for our sins. So he's not asking us to do something he wasn't willing to do. He's asking us to follow after him. And again, look at the battle that he was fighting. Yes, it cost him physically. It cost him his life. It cost him a great deal of suffering. But now ask yourself, when you look back at the passion and the death of our Lord, was that a physical fight or was that a spiritual one? He was fighting against Satan. He was fighting against sin. He was fighting against the spirits of darkness in high places, as St. Paul said. And we're members of Jesus Christ. It's our fight too. That hasn't changed. We're just continuing the battle. So as we continue to offer the sacrifice of Jesus, so too we continue to fight the fight of Jesus. That's what we're being asked to do. So we need to be able to set aside the natural level stuff and recognize that the battle that we're fighting is on the spiritual level, to make sure that we are properly outfitted for this battle. Make sure your prayer life is in good order. Make sure that you are reading the scriptures. Make sure that you are practicing righteousness, growing in holiness, trying to develop virtue. All of these things, make sure that you're forgiving. Make sure you're practicing the charity. All these things that we need to be about so that we're going to be prepared. The one thing you can be guaranteed that the devil has absolutely no power over is humility. So if we have humility, we've closed up every opening that the devil would have to attack. So make sure you're properly ready for what's coming. Pray for those graces. Try to cooperate with them. And change the outlook that you've got or the disposition of your mind. Because it's not about a physical battle. Yes, human beings will be involved, but it's a spiritual battle. It is a battle for souls. And if it's a spiritual battle, it must be fought on spiritual grounds. That's what the church is laying out for us today. To make sure that we are prepared, make sure our heart is in the right disposition, so that the devil will have no power over us. And in that, we will be victorious with our Lord Jesus Christ.